Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with evangelist Adalys Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Facebook and Instagram or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's evangelist Adalys.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Listen, we're just going to go right into it because I don't like to waste any of your time. And on today's podcast, is it this camera, the middle camera, or this guy? Right in the middle. I'm looking at the all the way in the left, my left. So what's happening is we are talking about success. Today is going to be a short and sweet one, I hope, because when I get started, things just pop into my spirit. And so I can talk here for a very long time. But today's title is called Success is Your Birthright. And as a child of God, you have to understand what the Word of God has to say concerning your life. And so I want to just open up with the scripture, and it's found in Joshua 1 verse 8. And the thing that most people remember is that the Lord said, "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Okay? I'll read it in the New Living Translation. "Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." So we are kind of this generation that's obsessed with success, which is good. Do you know why? Because that's our birthright. If we understand the Abrahamic covenant, then we know that we are now seeds of Abraham. So we can come in under that blessing that Abraham invoked by his faith. He's the father of our faith. And because we are now believers of Jesus, the same blessing that was on Abraham now belongs to you and I. That is guaranteed success in everything that we do. So if you want to read the blessing and the curse, go to Deuteronomy 28 and look to see how we are supposed to be living our lives. We're supposed to be living above the norm. So when all of this stuff happens in the Biden economy, it doesn't affect us. When the prices go up, you're like, oh, it's just, I guess it went up another 30 freaking cents. Who knows? Who cares? We have to live that way because we are the seed of Abraham. Everybody remembers that it's then, after believing in Jesus Christ and understanding that Abrahamic covenant that we are now a part of, we've been grafted in like, you know, children that have been adopted, but it belongs, that right is just as much a person of Jewish descent as it is with me. And so I can fully function in that. And so we're obsessed with the he'll prosper and make me successful in everything I do. But that's not where that scripture started. The scripture actually started with study this book of instruction. This is my Bible here. This is the book of instruction that we have to be obsessed with. If you are not obsessed with this book, then you are going to miss out on a whole lot of goodness. And it says here, don't just study it, meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Do you know obedience and faith go hand in hand? Faith is just your action. It's an action which is obedience to the step that God has asked you to do or commanded you to do. So when you obey, you're doing something about the success and the prosperity that's functioning in your life. But it comes at a cost. It doesn't just happen. And we are living in this generation, y'all, that all we're seeking for is one viral video to get the job done. And so we're just doing one viral video and you're behind the phone. You're not doing anything. You're not moving. You're not going. You're not, there's no hard work involved in life anymore. It's just, I'll take a picture and I'll get famous. It's the dumbest thing ever because the Word of God says that we have to be diligent in getting in the word, and not only just getting in the word and studying it, but meditating on it day and night so that we could be sure to walk this out and do something about it. That's what obedience is. You walk it out, you do something on the day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute. It's enough of the macro. Let's micro this a little bit. Let's look at the essence of what that really is. We're obsessed with this faith. Faith can move a mountain. What does that mean? Bring it down to the micro level. This is what it means to boil it down to the mic. And I'm talking to you like this because now I go to prison on Thursdays and I'm trying to boil it all the way down. They don't know the isms. They don't know. Faith, what is faith? I don't know what faith is. You just have to believe. You can't be double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable as they don't know. They don't know the stories. They don't know what does faith mean and what does a double-minded, some guy asked me, what does a double-minded mean? So I'm like, I'm just going to boil this down. You got to get in your word. You got to get in your word and you got to study it, okay? And then you got to think about it. You chew on that thing. If it's one scripture, what is it? What is the scripture? I'm thinking about it. I'm letting it affect me. I'm letting it change my mind, my confession, the very essence of who I am. This scripture is now, I'm absorbing this information and it's becoming a part of who I am. That's what that means. And unfortunately, if you turn with me to Psalm 11, verse 3, Psalm 11, verse 3, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you don't have a strong footing in the things that I'm about to tell you, then you're going to live a very frustrated life in perpetual frustration. That's what your life is going to be like because you don't know that success belongs to you. So you're just living by whatever happens, whatever opportunity comes into play. You know, there's so many people that just wake up and they're just waiting for somebody to call them and do something. There's no motivation. There's no purpose. I just got this job. I just met this lady. I just met this guy. And then, you know, they were there. So I just figured, you know, I'll marry her. I'll marry him. It's just dumb. Just stupid. There's no purpose. And then they come to the realization maybe later after it's too late. They're like, freaking hey, I shot myself in the freaking foot. And this is one thing that you have to get acquainted with. There's an enemy to your life. Look at me. Put that down. Turn me up in the car. Because I know the one in the back started screaming. Knock it off back there. Turn me up. What you have to understand is that the reason why people aren't fully walking this out in their life is because the devil has come in and you have bought a lie that your circumstances or your background or your knowledge or your blah, 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 fill in the freaking excuse is what's causing you to not be successful and you'll never be successful. I was there. I'm too dumb. I don't have a degree. I don't know why I'm here. I'm too Puerto Rican. I'm too this. I'm too scared. And really, the only individual that clouded up my mind because I allowed him to come in was the enemy. So once you understand that the devil will always try to negotiate you out of your inheritance by throwing in a lie, by pacifying something positive, something somebody said, oh, no, no, no. Oh, I know he said that I'm really good at singing, but it's him. And then you just like allow that to permeate and become your reality. And then 10 years down the road, like 10 years happens so fast, so fast. And 10 years down the road, you're not doing anything. So what the heck are we doing here? I am trying to tell you, do not sell your birthright for lentil soup. I'm telling you, stick with it. And you're going to see the manifestation of that success and that prosperity come in due time. But if you're just waiting for like I'm just going to nuke this in the microwave, and you're expecting for it to come out perfectly whole in a minute and 45 seconds, it ain't happening. That's not seed time and harvest. If I plant a seed and I expect it to grow immediately, I would be a complete imbecile. Or at least I wouldn't know. I'd be like an alien or something, because I really wouldn't even understand the concept of seed time and harvest. But anybody, and that's why they take us in kindergarten and you plant that bean. It takes a minute. It takes a minute. It's a fast growing thing, but it takes a minute. It doesn't just automatically sprout. You wait days and days, sometimes a couple of weeks to see that thing manifest. So here are three things that you have to do in order to be successful. If you are convinced that success is your birthright, which you should be, according to scripture, absolutely. Well, I just don't believe that everybody should be a millionaire, and you never will be one. Bye, love you. Have a good night, bye. It'll never happen. What you don't know has the power and the potential to absolutely kill and destroy you. And it's killed and destroyed so many dreams because of something your grandma said, that success and prosperity isn't for everybody, that if you chase money, it's because your heart is wicked, that if, you know, the message of prosperity is an evil one. Why is it evil, Sister Martha? Shut your trap. You're just regurgitating what your offended dad said when he left the church and started drinking. Let's just call it what it is. Hope you're doing great. I'm not mad. I'm just saying this is a reality. Let's dissect this. I've dissected a couple of animals in my life. I took zoology for God knows what reason. And I did a pig, a fetus. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. And then a cat. I did a cat. Did a couple fish. I did a frog, of course. I did a bird. An owl. I did an owl. Yeah. So it's gross, but it's interesting to see. Let's go fine tooth comb what the H is going on in here. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what we're doing right now. We're just dissecting a little bit, and it's going to be ugly. Sometimes you're going to open it and be like, ew, what did this animal have for lunch? But we're going to find out, and we're going to expose the lie, mark it, and then move on with our lives so that we can actually squeeze out of life what we can squeeze out of it. Number one, you gotta be diligent. Listen, I am shooketh. I am a little freaked out at the lack of work ethic that people have nowadays. People think I'm doing a lot. I'm not. I could do more. I could do more. There's always a little bit more that I could do. I learned that from Daddy Dag Hayward Mills. There's always just a little bit extra that you could do. And if you have that in your mind, then everything you're doing isn't that big of a deal. I could do a little bit more. If I wake up a little earlier, I could do a little bit more. You could always do a little bit more. But unfortunately, hard work, which means working hard, is something that is of no value in society now or esteemed very lightly. I'm telling you right now, for those of you that would choose to work and outwork your competitors, you're going straight to the top. That's all it is. Excellence, where we are right now, it's because we did what no man wanted to do. We hit the road when nobody wanted to hit the road. I remember it was January the 2nd. It was the day after New Year's, and it was 2007. 2008, maybe. 2008. And I remember there was a blizzard and we just left Maine where we were living at the time. And the last thing that I wanted to do was drive through this blizzard, but we had a meeting and we were committed to it. And I was like, you know what? We're going to rally the troops, me and Jonathan. I'm going to pack the car and we're just going to go. We're going to drive. And it was a long drive. And it's like not what you want to do on January the 2nd. It's like you're already in that kind of like comfortable mode. You're with family. You're enjoying their time, the fellowship, the food, relaxing. And now I got to go out into a blizzard to a little tiny meeting in New Hampshire. I don't want to do that. I don't know the people here. And the hotel we're staying at isn't even cute. It's some, you know, motel, some inner city thing. It's just, I don't want to do that. But you don't ask yourself what you want to do and then obey your body. No, you just do it because principally, this is what I've committed to do and this is what I'm going to attack and do to the best of my ability. So that's what we did. Every week, sometimes it did have to take you kind of just laughing. We'd laugh, well, me and Jonathan, man, we have good times. We'd laugh it out. What? Because you can't cry. So why cry? We'll just laugh. And so we just laughed ourselves over to Tim Hortons. And then we had a cup of coffee and we just enjoyed the ride. Live for the moment too. I want you to understand that. Sometimes success is so far off that you're like, I'll never hit that. And then you get discouraged. You allow yourself to get, you know, bamboozled by the devil. This isn't going anywhere. It's not about the 10 years from now. It's about the right now. So I'm going to enjoy it. I have to do this. This is where I'm at. This is my beginning stage. And actually, the Lord delights that I'm in this. He actually delights in the first stages of my ministry. He loves it. He wants to see me take off. He's guaranteed me success, but he's in it in the infancy of our beginnings, our small beginnings. And he's actually looking to see, what are you going to say? Is it too hard? Are you going to say that? Are you going to be so weak and say, it's so hard and I can't do it? Okay. And then you've zapped your potential because promotion cannot come except from the Lord. And he's watching your attitude. He's watching what you have to say. So you might as well enjoy the ride. I mean, it sucks. You're like, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. But then at the time, you're like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy it. And then you enjoy it. And then you enjoy the fellowship. And then you actually start liking it. And then you're hustling and you're grinding. But guess what? You're having a good time. So you got to get yourself out of that mindset that this work is just not, it's just not worth it. No one's seeing me. No one, I can't get the attention of anybody here. Like nobody cares. You're boring me. To think that promotion comes from a certain individual, you need to read your word. Because promotion can only come from the Lord. And when you work unto him, then my gosh, you're going straight to the top. How liberating is that you don't have to work for any person? You're working unto the Lord. And that also gives you a sense of urgency, but of excellence as well, that you're not just doing this for some guy. You're not just doing this for some business owner. You're doing it unto the Lord. And if what I do is unto the Lord, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to dress perfectly. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'll say the right things. I'll do the right things. I'll do more than the rest of my team. And it's not because I'm trying to, you know, kiss some butt. No, it's because I'm doing it unto the Lord. And I'll tell you, work ethic, hard work is simply something people just don't want to do. They get on the phone. I mean, you can't even, like back in the day, takeout. You had to call. You had to make a phone call. Then you got to go pick up your food. You didn't have Uber Eats. You don't have DoorDash. You don't have Instacart. You had to do all that work. You don't have the drop and your laundry off and then just like wash and fold does that stuff for you. You had to do all of that. We've come a long way, but now it's freed us up of so much time. And how many people are still idle? How many people that you know are still idle? Ew. Nothing works without someone working. Nothing will ever work if no one is working. And unfortunately, we're so enamored by the one day this is going to happen. One day, I'm going to be at the top. One day, I'll be my own boss. One day, and one day. Here's point number two, apart from doing hard work. Be diligent. Go and hard, like outwork the other employees that are in your business or whatever it is that you're doing. Here's number two. Kill the I'm believing God for. I'm just believing God that he's just going to take me straight to the top. I'm just believing God that I'm going to find this job opportunity in the oil field and just like it's going to be great. Okay. In the meantime, go ahead and work at Sheetz. Okay. That's what That's what you're going to do. I'm just believing God that, like, I'm going to get a podcast. Okay, for now, you need to pay the bills. So go ahead, go in and get the job at Banana Republic. Go ahead. See, but people, that's not faith. No, it is. It's actually a lot more faith to actually do something than just talk about it. That's not faith. Faith doesn't just talk about it and keep it in the ethereal realm, in the future realm. There is nothing more frustrating to your faith than putting things off to the future. Do it right now. All right, this is what I'm believing for, but right now I got to pay my bills. I'm going to go and get my $21 at Sheetz per hour. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone doesn't provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." That's how disgusting idle hands are to God. You can't provide for your family. Well, I'm just believing that God's going to open a door for ministry. And so we got to fight that good fight of faith. You ain't fighting no good fight of faith right now. You got to get a job. You got to go and feed your kids. You got to clothe them kids. That's priority number one. And in the meantime, if you want it bad enough, you're going to outwork the rest of them. So if you're going to work from 9 to 5, from 7 to 11, from 7 to midnight, you're going to hustle and do the podcast and do your Bible study. And then you're going to, that's what that looks like. If you want success, you're going to have to go the extra 10 miles. Forget the extra mile. 10 miles. To go to where you want to go. But you got to keep first things first. And again, if you don't know, then the foundation's going to be cracked. And then what are you going to do, oh righteous one? If your foundation's cracked, you can't build on that. And that's ultimately what happens in our frustrated lives. We get it all. These concepts, I want to do something so great. Everybody's so enamored with the vision. Oh, vision. This is my vision. But no one wants to put in the legwork. No one wants to take the first step to go towards that vision. You just want to get there. It doesn't happen that way, sweetie. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall you eat." How can people just like bum off the government? And if this is you, and this is the first time you're hearing it, like, it's time to come off the teat of the government. Because God has something so much better for you. And really, when you are dependent on the government can tell you what to do, what to eat, where to go. They can shut you in. I got your money. That's the textbook slavery, manipulation. Why would you want to be in that mess? Well, I'm just a single mom and I don't have this and I don't have that. You can do something about that. There are nothing but online jobs that are available now. It's the most glorious thing in the whole wide world. You know, if you have little babies, you can work from home. It's just people don't want it bad enough. But if you don't work, you also can't eat. So I don't know where this mindset is. I just, you know, just waiting for God. Just waiting for God. Wake up. This is what this looks like. And everybody's enamored with the private jet. Oh, no one cares about 17 years ago when we were in a little church in Bethel, Vermont. Nobody cares. That wasn't glamorous. That wasn't glamorous when we had to drive from Virginia Beach all the way to Scranton, Pennsylvania in a blizzard that had never happened in 30 years. There was it just happened in the Delaware. Like, it's like above Virginia, Delaware, and then it stopped right when it was so demonic. It was just like the Pennsylvania line just completely stopped. So there was no snow. So there was no canceling the meeting either. So we had to drive through the night. Nobody cares about those things because that's not beautiful. What's beautiful is look at the church, all of those people. Look at get out of here. Get out of here. John 9:4, look at what Jesus said. "I must work the work of him that sent me." What does your faith do? I ask you. What does your faith do? Is it just talking? I'm just believing God. No. Jesus said, I must work the work of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. So if even Jesus had to work this thing out, what are we doing? Jesus was a hard worker. You know, when he was crossing the sea and that terrible storm came, he was sleeping. He was out cold. And how is it that these like professional fishermen, they know what the heck is going on? There's water coming in the boat. What was Jesus doing? Passed out. Because he probably hadn't gotten sleep. He was exhausted from a hard day's work. Have you ever put in a hard day's work that you just clock out? Sorry. I could have done that later, but it just was bothering me. So, I mean, Jesus had to work. He couldn't get away with it. God worked. I mean, if you look at it, he worked. He built the entire world in its existence in 6 days, but he rested on the seventh because he was like, I put in a good day's work. The Holy Spirit is nonstop working for us. He's leading us and guiding us. So we've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. That's who we're connected with. What is your excuse for not going after it and working with diligence? You have to understand here, y'all, that seed time and harvest is the actual, it's the message of the Bible. I do believe that. From the beginning till the very end, the law of seed time and harvest is something that is just all, it's just saturated this book. So when we understand that, then we see that it's not just about what I give. It's what I say. It's what I do. It's what I do. It's what I do. And it's what I do. David Oyedepo says, you'll never get out of life more than you're committed to invest in it. We look at ROI. Return of investment. That's what God's looking at. When he gave that parable where he gives the master gives the three bags of gold to those three men according to what their abilities were. I find it so amazing that it was according to their ability, according to their work ethic, according to what they do on a day-to-day basis, they were given bags of gold. So God's not a communist. He's not looking at it and be like, you know what? You had a rough life. But here, Billy over here, who had like, you know, a really nice home and a good Christian family, I'm going to bless him more. No, that's not how that works. You're all on the same playing field, and what you want to get out of it is only what anybody is going to do. Like if you want to be successful, then go after it. Billy can be successful. You can be successful. That's the American dream. Wherever you're at, whatever background you are, it doesn't matter. All that's required is hard work. And so it says, while the earth remains, the Bible says, there will be seed time and harvest, winter, spring, summer, fall. So there's this concept that you have to really understand that everything that I do is a seed. Everything that I say is a seed. And so if I sow sparingly, I too will reap sparingly. It's a law. That's all. If I'm going to work like a lazy ass, I'm also going to reap the benefits of what a lazy ass does. And I'm sorry that I said the ASS word, but so you need to knock it off. You need to knock it off. But if you sow bountifully, then you will also reap bountifully. If you outwork the rest of your people, do you not think that's going to get the attention of the higher ups when they look at you and say, I don't know, this girl hauls behind. This guy is there before everybody is there and then leaves after everybody leaves. He cares. Do you not think that's a seed? Absolutely, it's a seed. But if you plant nothing, you will return, and the return will be nothing. If you plant little, the return will be little. If you plant like a bountiful harvest or a bountiful seed, then you're going to reap a bountiful harvest. That's simply how it works. And I want you to really ask yourself this, because this happens to me all the time. Have you ever gone a day and you've forgotten to eat? Because you're like, it's eight. Like, what happened? What happened? That happens to me very often. If that hasn't happened to you, in fact, you take that, that's the one thing in your day that's bringing you joy, and you're like, at 12:30, I gotta eat. And then again, at five, I gotta eat. And then you're just planning your entire day around what you eat. Listen, you're boring me. You're not putting in the effort. I'm telling you right now. Because when you really work hard, there's some times where you're like, I gotta finish this. I forgot. I've done that since I was 16 years old working for Pastor Max at my youth group. And we would work from 6 a.m. to 1 o'clock. And we'd be like, yo, it's 9 o'clock. Let's order pizza. I haven't eaten. No one stopped. Everybody's painting. Everybody's doing something. It was in I wasn't doing ministry related thing. I was doing, putting rocks on walls and painting the ceiling and putting, you know, all kinds of epoxy on stuff. It was just like one big giant construction project, and you're working and you're enjoying it. It's like, and then to see the completion of that work is like the best feeling in the whole wide world. And so it is with ministry. I'm not looking, oh, I've clocked in 3 hours. It's so much more than that. And when you really give your heart to something and you start working at it with such passion, you just, nothing else matters. That's the type of work that you need to step into, okay? Amos 6:1 says, what sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury in Jerusalem, and you who feel secure in Samaria? You are famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you for help. What sorrow awaits for you, those who lounge? Must be said. I'm not even trying to be cute about this. I saw this, somebody reposted a TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but someone reposted it. And it was two separate occasions. One girl that was hysterically crying because she just graduated and she has student loans that she has to pay off. But the job opportunity that she received was in the city. So she had to wake up at 6 a.m. and take the commuter trail into the city, drive her car into the parking, take the commuter rail because there's nowhere to park because it's so expensive. Then she has to work from 9 to 5. Then she takes the commuter trail back, and then she gets to her car at around 5:30, has to make another 30-minute drive back to her house. She gets there at 6. She has to clean up and take a shower. By that time, it's 7 o'clock. She cooks dinner. It's 8 o'clock, 8:30, and she has no social life, and she's exhausted. So she has to go to bed at 9:30, 9:45, 10 o'clock, and she has no social life, and she's just hysterical. Like, this can't be life. And it's like, nope, that's life. That's life. Work. People don't want to work. There's another TikTok about this guy who was just hysterical. Hysterical that there was too much work at Starbucks. He was so overwhelmed. He was literally having a mental breakdown as to how bad his the work at Starbucks is, that he had to make like 3 drinks and nobody showed up to help close. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. I can't imagine having a conniption fit because I have to make 40 drinks per hour or whatever the H it was that he was like flipping out about. Oh, that he has to, there's the shipment. I did with the shipment of boxes. I don't even remember. It was so like my brain felt stupider listening to this kid. But that's the season we're living in right now. People don't know what to do with work. And when they're presented with the opportunity, la cagan. They just poop on it because it's like, we don't know what to do. Work? What is that? Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. For there is no work or a device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Listen, this is important. We have a lifetime, okay? Zero, and if you're lucky, you're going to hit 85, 89, 90, 120 max. We only have a maximum amount of years to work here. And this is what Jesus was saying. He was like, I got to work while it's still daytime because there's going to be an hour where no man can work. This here is in sync with what Jesus was doing. Whatever you do, do it well. For when you die, there's not going to be work or planning, knowledge or wisdom. When I go to the gravesite in a couple days, when I go to the cemetery, I see a whole bunch of dead dreams. People whose dreams can no longer be activated, can no longer be sought after. That's it. It's in the ground, dead and buried, and they can't bring that back to life. Whatever dreams they had, it's over. And you know, when we go into heaven, we're no longer going to have to fight the good fight of faith, because there's no fighting involved in heaven. We're just entering into rest and doing the work that he's, you know, given us to do, whatever that might be. But the fighting element and aspect of it, it's over the moment we die. So why not work? Why not fight? Why not do everything we can and have the opportunity to do? Here's number three. In Proverbs 27... I'm going to look that up real quick. Proverbs 27 says, hold on, because I wrote Proverbs 27, but I can't find it now. So I'm just going to take this through. So the number the third thing in this series about success is your birthright. Be a hard worker. Kill the unbelieving God and just work this out. I forgot to make mention of that. Quit keeping it in the ethereal and walk it out. What is the next step? Oh, I don't have means to pay for my cell phone. I'm going to get a job. I don't care what that looks like. I'm going to go after it and then seek God's will in regards to what he's called me to do. How do you want me to take this place? But for now, I'm going to go. I'm going to move. Number three, labor, then build your home. Labor, then build your home. I said 27, but it was 24. That's why. 24:27. Proverbs 24:27. And it says, prepare your outside work. Make it fit for yourself in the field. And afterwards, build your house. Let me see that in the New King James Version. Prepare your work outside. Oh, that is the... Okay, let me see it in the Amplified. Do you have Amplified? Put first things first. Doesn't ever disappoint, Amp. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. And afterwards, build your house and establish your home. So what you have to understand is... build, prepare your work outside, and build your fields. Build your business and then establish your home. People are so, they do that the opposite way. They're trying to build this lap of luxury. Oh, I just, my closet and my shoes. And I just want that. I want this house and I want, what are you doing? What is your profession? What are you doing diligently every single day? You're just obsessed with this look, the appearance of it, but you're not really building your business. You must build your business. That's one thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to my husband after he was in Bible school, and he's thinking, I'm going to meet my wife. He never met me because I never went to school with him. And what happened? The Lord plainly told him this scripture, Proverbs 24:27. Build your business and then establish your house. So do whatever you got to do to get this thing to take off, because what are you going to do? You don't have money to buy a ring. You don't have money to bring in a wife and take care of her. What if you get pregnant? You're going to have a baby in here? Do you have enough to do that? No. So then focus and build your building or build your business and then establish your home. But we want to establish the home before the business. And so everything's skewed. Everything's like messed up. You can't live like that. And if you've done that, the Lord will give you a way out. I know, I'm not trying to be like, I have four kids and No, the Lord will give you a plan of action, but you ought to work, because success is your birthright. And don't give it up for any stupid idiot. Don't give it up for some blonde idiot, male or female. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't. And a blonde, brunette, it has nothing to do with the appearance. Don't give it up for an individual person because you think he's cute. It's like, what are you doing? Some people just forsake that success because they just want, they're lonely. They just want to hold hands with somebody. I can't relate. I can't relate. You're dating somebody and they're not even in the same. Like, if you're in ministry and you're dating some other person that's a bartender, like, maybe not do that. Maybe understand that there's going to be problems and he's going to pull you away from what God's ordained you to do. It's just that people literally will bypass their birthright for some stupid lentil soup. Don't be that person. Put your head down and work. Outwork the masses. Quit saying, God, I believe some. No, I'm going to institute this right now. What? This is where you want me to go. These are the steps that I have to take. Plan it out. Take all of that into account. Say, this is what I need. This is how much money I need to get the podcast going. I'm going to work. I'm going to work these a certain amount of hours. I'll have 500 tracks in 2 months. After the 2 months, I'll launch into the podcast and continue to do that on the evenings when I'm not working. That's what that looks like. That's what faith is. Rot it out. Work it out. And you will find success. This stuff didn't happen overnight for us, baby boy. This was 17 years in the making of diligent, hard work. No regrets. No regrets. So I want to encourage you with that. Don't allow discouragement to come in and be like, I'm just not where I should be. Neither am I. We're still working hard. We're still working diligently. Now more than ever. I've got more things on my plate than I ever have. And it feels so easy to me, because that's the law of seed time and harvest. I've given myself, I've given my youth, I've given the best years of my life for Christ, and now he's pouring that back into me, sending me the help, allowing me the privilege of living out this dream day by day. But there's still work. I still outwork. Most people couldn't do what Jonathan and I do, especially John. No way. But what do we do? Do we sit here and complain? It's just so hard and nobody understands. No. Because I know my reward's in heaven. I'm not doing it for any individual, which is the most liberating thing in the whole wide world. I'm doing it unto the God. I'm doing it unto the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for sealing this word with the blood of Jesus. I pray every form of discouragement to fall off of those that are listening today. And I ask you that you would be able to deposit on the inside what that success looks like for them. I pray that every dream that has been shelved would come off of the shelf, that they would blow the dust right off of it and bring that dream back into the forefront, back to life, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for a blueprint as to how to get from point A to point B, not point A to point Z. No, little steps, Father. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would lead us and guide us into doing exactly what you have in store for us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Every form of laziness, every form of idleness, every form of an easy way out, let it be burned out of these people in Jesus' name. And in its stead, Father, let them have a spirit of excellence, a different spirit that they would carry, like Joshua and Caleb, Father. People looked at them, God, you looked at them, and you said they carry something different. Let that be said about us in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. If you are listening to this, we have a lot of events happening. Please turn to revivaltoday.com and just see what's around. We're just chuck-loaded with all kinds of events. If you go to RTC, there's a home for you. There's a place for you. We've got bowling leagues. We've got a hunter thing. We've got veterans. We've got moms. We've got women. We've got all so many events that are happening. And so I want you to get connected. And I love you. And you're the best. And you're doing great. Amen.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.